Continuing on, this is part four, Sermon on the Mount. At this point, the Beatitudes. So turn to Matthew chapter 5. But just so people realize, these aren't written to us. These are written to the Jews when Jesus was on the earth to be their Messiah. If they'd have followed him exactly, if they'd have believed him and knew that he was the Messiah, the Son of God, it talks about all that through the Gospels, that that's all they had to believe, that he was the Messiah. Saying, if we just believe that he was the Son of God, then that doesn't make our salvation. And in those days, it made them one of his followers, one of his disciples, and here's what they needed to do if they were going to follow Jesus. These are his teachings. And they're tremendously everywhere in Christianity. And finding out that if a person hasn't read their Bible, they're going to go by what somebody's taught, what somebody taught to them. And everybody in churches teaches the Beatitudes as gospel law, and that's not true. But you will not recognize that unless, of course, you've read all the way through the New Testament, Paul's teachings. So, that was just a quick summary. If you're still perked about that comment, then go back and listen to introduction in part 1, 2, 3, and 4. And today, we're going to look at verse 10. Chapter 5, verse 10. And we're going to look at persecution today, suffering. And there's so many key things that makes this obviously not to us. Here's a quick review. Like, for example, verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they are shall be called the children of God. Does that make us a Christian to be a peacemaker? Of course it doesn't. Not according to Paul's teaching. You're a Christian if you have your faith in Jesus Christ. You're not a Christian if you put your if you've asked Jesus to be your to come into your heart. You're not a Christian if you've committed your life to him. You're not a Christian if you've asked Jesus to come into your life. You need to trust him that what he did for you. And if you trust that to take place, that has taken place, you believe that to be true, and you trust him to be the Savior, he will be your Savior. That's what makes you a Christian. We have a lot of folks that are have a knowledge of God, but they don't understand the truth of it all. So here we go. Verse 10. Again, we're going to talk about persecution today, which I'm looking forward to, believe it or not, because we will see that what Paul has to teach is exactly what he says is the way of God more perfectly, meaning there's more to it now for the Gentiles today, to the Gentiles today. Now, we got a real quick, obvious statement in verse 10. It says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Okay, so you got these people, they go out and they do some things, and they will do whatever they can to be persecuted. You'll make people mad. You'll get arrested. You'll stir up the crowd. You'll say something. Boy, that sure got them, didn't it? And you're looking to be persecuted because that means that you're doing right. That doesn't mean that you're doing right because you're persecuted. But what does Paul say about persecution? We'll get to that in a few minutes. And suffering. What I want you to see is the next part where it says, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, that's proof right there that that is not written to us because Paul preaches a kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom, which we'll see in a minute. These teachings are to these people in the kingdom of heaven. In fact, I'll read it to you tonight, but I got another teaching, another invitation, a brochure thing for some kind of a pastoral ministry of some sort. And he just kept mentioning the kingdom of heaven. That's just all he talked about. We've got to get prepared for this kingdom of heaven. We've got to get this place going. We've got to get up here, stop sinning. This is the kingdom of heaven. This is not our concern. Of course, he would say that. He's getting it from the Bible. He's getting it from the Gospels. That's what rightly dividing is all about, to know that the kingdom of heaven is not our issue. So we see that, look at Jeremiah of all places. So when he says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, see, they're going to be persecuted for righteousness' sake, and because of that, they get the kingdom of heaven. Okay, so they're going to go out there and they're going to do their thing. They're going to get yelled at and they're going to get cursed. They're going to get persecuted and suffered, tortured, just like the apostles did in the Great Commission. And yes, they were. And if a person was going to follow Jesus and follow these things, they would be persecuted. But as they're being persecuted, they would be, I don't know what the word would be, leader, they'd be Christians anyway. They wouldn't even be called Christians yet. They were just called Jesus followers or disciples, whatever. And they would be dominating as such the kingdom of heaven. This is what they get, kingdom of heaven, the earth, because he's their Messiah. So if everybody in the world followed Jesus Christ during that time when he was down here, if they had turned to him as their Messiah, then yes, this kingdom of heaven, this earthly kingdom, physical kingdom, would be theirs. Everybody'd have it. He'd be their Messiah, he'd have been their king, and it would have been fine. Now, Christ also preached kingdom of God. That's the spiritual kingdom. That's right. When Christ came, he had the kingdom of heaven. Here I am, physical. Kingdom of God, I'm the Son of God. And you have the godly things that God is going to give to you. So you're physical, kingdom of heaven. You'd be spiritual, kingdom of God. Christ brought both of those kingdoms. Now, if we go to Jeremiah 22, let's just do a fast, quick review. Because, see, there's still some folks that don't understand what the kingdom of heaven is. And my comment is, who cares? Because it isn't to us. So if it's not to us, which we'll see with Paul, if our concern is the kingdom of God, then who cares? If you don't understand the kingdom of heaven, you'll get it someday. I wouldn't worry about it. What you need to be concerned about is the kingdom of God, because that's what we're dealing with today. You'll see that. Now, here's a little outline history. When Adam and Eve came, or when Adam was created, and God messed up and made the woman, I thought I'd just throw that in just to be a joke here. Just see, now, I just already lost my readers and my listeners and the whole thing. But no, we wouldn't have had anybody but Adam and a bunch of animals if it wasn't for Eve and all sorts of stuff. He'd have starved to death. He wouldn't know how to wash his fig leaves, any of that kind of stuff. So it wouldn't have happened, you know. I understand that right now, by the way. I still got flour on the kitchen floor I spilled the other day. Just like, who's going to get this? But anyway. Who's down here this morning, Sam?
Right now, Mark.
Yep. Oh, headers are there. Okay, well, that was just my joke for the day that just set everything off crummy here. But anyway. Adam and Eve, clean. They messed up. Kingdom of God goes away. Devils, all that kind of stuff. Through the whole Old Testament, kingdom of heaven all the way through, kingdom of heaven, physical kingdom, temples, tabernacles, the whole spiel. Jeremiah 22:30. God's still trying to get these people to do right. He finally says, listen, in verse 30, thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless, Jeconiah, a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. No more kings, no more nothing in this kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven is no longer an issue. So now we've got the kingdom of God gone, we've got the kingdom of heaven gone, you've got Daniel prophesying what's going on, you've got Nebuchadnezzar being the type of Antichrist because now God's not there physically or spiritually, and he runs the world. Nebuchadnezzar in the whole spiel, Daniel prophesies about all this coming. Jesus Christ shows up, he comes with the kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven. John the Baptist preaches about Jesus Christ coming, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. Jesus says the same thing. They kill Stephen, and we find out that the kingdom of heaven is done. God's done to the Jews on this kingdom of heaven stuff, and he goes on to the Gentiles. He goes into the kingdom of God. It's called the kingdom of God. We get so confused because we picture the word heaven meaning heaven. Somewhere out there is heaven. People on clouds or just, they have no idea what it is, but they know that that's heaven. How can the kingdom of heaven be an earthly kingdom? Because you've seen your Bible from reading that the kingdom of heaven is all the physical things of everything that exists. It's the kingdom of heaven. We don't have to deal with that anymore. It's a corrupt kingdom. It's a corrupt world. And we deal with, look at Romans chapter 14. What Paul deals with us now that he's done with the Jews, done with the kingdom of heaven. Now we're talking kingdom of God. And we have where he says in Romans 14:17, he says the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It isn't something physical. He says it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It is not righteousness. It is not our righteousness on this earth doing the right things that we're going to get this kingdom down here. It is not peace where we don't have guns or we don't fight and we don't talk bad and we don't have negative things. We're always positive, all this kind of stuff, that kind of peace. That's not what he's talking about. And then joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, what we've done today is we've turned joy into happiness. The only way people can be happy is to buy things, do the American thing, and be happy. So the kingdom of heaven is not what Paul's all about. We're not concerned about the kingdom of heaven today. This is not God's house. He's not walking around in here. He's in us. If this was the Old Testament, if this was the gospel time, yes, he would have to be in here. We'd have to be doing the right thing. We'd have to be doing the right music. We'd all have to be dressed proper, and we'd all have to have our hearts clean. We have to be confessed and cleansed, or he wouldn't be in here. And if everybody was here super duper clean and one person in here was dirty, then he wouldn't be in here. That's Old Testament stuff. We don't have that. And when I say Old Testament, I also mean the Gospels, because the Gospels are still Old Testament. Jesus Christ is down here having a walk of the law, walk the law as God designed, and until the death of the testator, says in Hebrews chapter 9, is the New Testament. So the New Testament does not begin until the actual death of Jesus Christ. So we don't do that. That's the kingdom of heaven, earthly, physical kingdom. And so in the Beatitude says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They'd be getting persecuted so they can have what's down here. I don't want what's down here. Do you want what's down here? I don't want what's down here. At least not the way it's designed right now anyway. So Paul deals with the kingdom of God. Now, look at Acts chapter 19, verse 8. Let me show you what I mean. Here we go. So, you know, during Jesus' time and during the times of the Jews and the Gospels and stuff, yeah, they were going to be persecuted. They were persecuted. But if they stayed with it, they were Christ's apostles. They were Christ's disciples, or Jesus' disciples, on the earth, the kingdom of heaven. And if they hadn't killed Jesus Christ, they would have been ruled and reigned by Jesus Christ, and this would have been their kingdom. But they did. They killed Jesus Christ. Okay, then you go to Acts chapter 7, and you see Acts chapter 7, where the Lord said, listen, I'll give them another chance. Peter and John, go talk to these guys, especially you, Peter, and talk to the circumcision. Get these people to accept what I was. I was their Messiah. And the Jews go, yeah, he was our Messiah. Now what do we do? And that's where Peter said, well, you need to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. It still wasn't the teaching that Jesus taught to the Jews, to the Christians. To the Gentiles. And so as Stephen comes along, a man full of the Holy Ghost, it says, which Christ would do, and they killed him. And God says, okay, I'm done with all this. The Jews, I'm going to set you aside for right now, and I'm going to take Paul, who hated Christians more than anybody else, I'm going to make this guy go out there and be my apostle, one apostle. I'm going to make him go out there to the Gentiles. And here's what I'm going to give to those Gentiles. I'm going to give them absolutely everything. I'm not going to make them stop sinning. I'm going to get rid of the law so there is no sin. And you can't have it better than that. And all they got to do to get some rewards is just do what I ask Paul to teach those guys to please God and my Father, and I'll reward them for that. It is so fantastic. Romans chapter 11, Romans chapter 9, and Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 22, Acts chapter 28. That's just amazing stuff. But they kill Stephen. They go after Paul. Paul is never all that quite accepted. So what do we have here? We have Paul who's going around teaching about the kingdom of God to people who think they're trying to live the kingdom of heaven. What do we got going on today? We got people trying to teach Paul's teachings, us, other people out there, trying to teach the kingdom of God, a spiritual kingdom. And everybody out there is caught up in this kingdom of heaven stuff, which is totally Jewish. And they're going to the Gospels to get it, and they're going to, believe it or not, even to the Old Testament in some ways to get it, and then they're even going to go on to the books in the future that they're going to get, and they're going to try to apply that stuff. It's a mess. Paul teaches the kingdom of God. So because we know that about the kingdom of God, verse 10 of chapter 5 of Matthew is mute. It's not written to us today. Now, Acts chapter 19, verse 8. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months. That's a long sermon. Disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Paul is preaching the kingdom of God. So if somebody doesn't want to believe Paul's teachings, we ought to tell them, hey, then you don't believe in the kingdom of God, do you? Well, yeah, sure we do. What is the kingdom of God? Well, it's where God's at. No, it's a spiritual kingdom. Yes, he's in us. Look at Acts chapter 20, a lot of verses today. Acts chapter 20, verse 25. Acts chapter 20, verse 25. And now behold, I know that ye all, there you go, Sue, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall ye see my face no more. But preaching the kingdom of God. Look at chapter 28, verse 23. Look at Acts 28. Kingdom of God is mentioned throughout Paul's teachings. Now, not only just by Paul. That's the issue. Acts 28, 23. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God. persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses, isn't that amazing? And out of the prophets, from morning till evening. Talking about the kingdom of God that was coming. It was there. Look at verse 31. Preaching the kingdom of God, there it is again, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. That's different than Jesus. Same person, but the gospel teachings, or the gospel name, is he's more often called Jesus. Paul calls him the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. He preached the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the risen Savior. Any confidence? Nobody stopped him. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers. That's bad enough right there. We'll stop there. Those are terrible people. No, it goes on. I'm not that. No, it goes on. It says there, nor effeminate. Oh, that's a good one. You don't have to be queer, but you can still be effeminate. And that kept them out. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Well, we're none of those. Well, keep going. Nor thieves. You ever stolen anything? Oh, nothing big. Didn't say that. Nor covetous. Every time you go shopping, you're coveting for something. Nor drunkards. Nor revilers. Sometimes I bet you partied a little hardy. Maybe you didn't get drunk, but I bet you were loud. Revilers nor extortioners. You ever done anything to your parents? Little kids are extortioners all the time, making things happen, trying to get stuff. Anyway, shall inherit the kingdom of God. That isn't how you get the kingdom of God anyway. And God's got to get rid of that stuff before you can have the kingdom of God. But he talks about the kingdom of God. What does he do? Does he get us to stop sinning? Stop doing those things? No, he takes the law out that says that stuff is wrong. Then he says, because you're a Christian, you ought to stop doing those things. Well, I don't fornicate. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not effeminate. I'm not an abuser of myself with mankind. Yeah, but you bet you're a thief. I bet you've stolen something. Covetous, drunkards, revilers, and extortioners. Look at Galatians 5:21. Look at Galatians 5:21. Everybody just looks at the bad stuff. Well, I don't do that bad. They don't have to do that bad. And people are not lost because they're doing wrong. They're not lost because they're sinning. They're lost because of Adam, which brought sin into the world. That's why. Galatians 5:21, here's another list. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Let me fix something here. Yeah, verse 19 as well, and 20. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, which is fleshy stuff, idolatry, witchcraft, rebellion is witchcraft, so that doesn't need to be if they're playing with seances and little voodoo dolls, just being rebellious. Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Let's talk about the kingdom of God. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 50. Long chapter. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. So the kingdom of heaven, which is what he talks about in Matthew 5:10, is the issue. But we don't deal with that. We're supposed to be dealing with the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is not a physical flesh and blood kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is. So, there you are. Does that take care of that verse simply? Well, yeah, but still, what about righteousness? Well, whose righteousness do you have? You have his. Paul talks about that. And, have you stopped sinning? No. Somewhat. Yeah, but if you totally stop, no. Well, it'll burn the judgment seat, because now those sinnings that you're doing are called bad works, and it'll burn the judgment seat, but you won't. But if you never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, according to Paul's teachings in the Bible, you still have sin attached to your soul, and you will die. Your works have sin attached, and yes, because of that, you will die. Not because you're sinning, because sin is still there. You're dead in your sins. And Christ takes care of that. But that's the kingdom of God. So, now let's go back to this persecuted for righteousness' sake. I just got to looking at that word sake. Matthew chapter 10, verse 5, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Sake, S-A-K-E. Final cause, end, purpose, for the benefit or interest of. You did it for that person or for that sake, for that one. Why did you do this? For that. I got to thinking, you know, there's why do we do what we do? Why do we? For whose sake? For what sake? Well, you go through the gospel, look at the word sake, and just about every one of them has to do for his sake, for Christ's sake. But not all of them. For example, here, let's look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 18. Let's just look at some of these, whose sake, and then we'll see what Paul says about for whose sake. It's really quite interesting. I hope it was to me. So look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 18, just for example. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake. Okay? Look at Matthew 16, 25. Now Matthew 10, we'll go to that one, Matthew 10. The notes are more complete on the internet again. They're not online yet, but they will be this afternoon. For his sake. Matthew 10, 39. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Look at, there's so many here. Look at Luke 9:24. Luke 9:24 says similar. It's kind of the same thing. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life, the same shall save it. No, it says, for my sake. They had to live to follow him. They had to live for his sake. They had to live according to his sake. Your children, your kids, you have to live for your parents' sake. You're their children. You're doing things to please your parents. Why did you do that? I did that for mom's sake. Wouldn't you do it to please yourself? Not always. I did it for mom's sake because I don't want to get in trouble. You know, whatever the reason is, you're doing it for something like that. Now, look at Mark 13. Now, I'm not teaching that these things are wrong. This is what Jesus told the Jews during his time on earth. They're just wrong if they're taught to us. You're learning them today, but I'm not teaching them to you. Mark 13:9. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils. Yes, they're going to have a hard time. And in the synagogues you shall be beaten. Let's go to church today and get beaten. Okay, that sounds fun. That's what they did. Well, we got these brave Christians say, so I go to the church. I better get skinned. I better get beaten. I better have him just chew me up. Oh, hit me, brother. Park there. All this kind of baloney. And if you do, boy, they get mad. If you get there with Paul, you can beat people with Paul, but that's not necessary. You don't have to do that. But it says here, you shall be beaten, and you shall be brought before rulers and kings. But he throws in, for my sake. See, if it's for him, it's okay. So we got people today that says, I'm going to go get in trouble, I'm going to go get persecuted, I'm going to go get beaten, I'm going to go get hurt, but it's all for his sake. Is it? Is that what God would have us do today? That's what we have to ask ourselves. If we live the life of the Jews in the Gospels today, and we get persecuted for it, is it for his sake? If we're out there preaching Bible verses, for example, or in church homes, churches, or pulpits, or the magazines I'm getting all the time from religious people, and the programs and all these things that they're developing, then they're all gospel Jewish teachings, or the tribulational teachings, which aren't today. Is that truly for Christ's sake? The only way to know is to see what is it Paul has to say. But before we do that, let's go here to Luke 6:22. Luke 6:22. That's the question. I mean, just because we say we're doing it for Christ's sake today, is it right? Is it true? Is that what he would have you do? What good would it do for a kid to do something for the parents that the parents didn't ask him to do, didn't want him to do it, but I did it for my dad's sake. But dad never told you to do it. Then you didn't do it for your dad's sake. You did it for your sake. Let's say you've got two boys, and you teach the first boy, he grows up, here's what he needs to do, and this please dad. And then the second boy comes along, and he does the same thing. He's little and all this kind of stuff. He does the same thing, but dad never told him to do that. Dad doesn't want him to do that. But he did it for dad's sake. But was it? No, it wasn't. It was for his son's sake. It was for his own sake. Is that what we're doing today? Look at Luke 6:22. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Well, yeah, we know we're hated. We know that people don't want us to hang around them for company. We know that shall reproach you. We know that. And they think that we're evil and wicked because we don't teach the Beatitudes to people. They think that we're crazy and all this kind of stuff. But what is it Christ would have us do that we do for his sake today? Is what we're doing that's causing people to hate us, is what we're doing to be separated from their company, to be a reproach and to be cast out as evil people, is what we're doing for his, is it real? Is it true? Is it what Christ would have us to do? Well, let's pull out this verse, somewhere like that, and it says what it says, and you preach it to people, and you get mad, and you get persecuted, you get arrested, and the whole thing. And God goes, I never told you to say that. Don't blame me for this. You didn't do that for my sake. You did that for your sake. You think you got a religion that you want to stick up for. I appreciate your zeal, but you haven't got the zeal of God. You haven't got the right knowledge. You got the right zeal, but the wrong knowledge. I never told you to say that. So enjoy jail. You don't have to be in that jail cell right now. You don't have to be there at all. It's what we're doing, really, for Christ's sake today. Now, here's a couple other little things here. He says in Matthew and other different places, Matthew, Luke, and John, he does it for his name's sake. Not just Jesus Christ himself, for God's sake, but his name. What's his name? The Lord Jesus Christ. Today it is. What was his name then? Jesus. So he has things that they did... He said, y'all should be hated for my name's sake. You know, people just, he just mentioned Jesus, and today people don't get all that upset anymore. But if you mention the Lord Jesus Christ, or the risen Savior, the risen Christ, that starts to bother people. I believe it's because it's a spiritual issue. The devil doesn't care that his name Jesus is talked. That's his earthly name. That'll get you back, that'll get people back into the Great Commission and the Beatitudes and the Gospels. But you start talking about the risen Savior, and we already know that the teachers out there, the guru teachers, are teaching people that if you just mention the word Paul, you're already scratched. You're already not even, they're not going to pay attention to you. Oh, you're one of those hyper. Where'd you come up with that? Just because I mentioned the word Paul, and the Bible tells us to follow Paul. Why do you want to follow 12 apostles when he only gave us one? We mention the word Paul, we're instantly hated. Just the name. Anyway, he says, before all these, they shall lay their hands on you, persecute you, deliver you up to the synagogues, into prisons, being brought before kings, for my name's sake. So, yeah. Is that getting pretty picky? I don't think so. Jesus as the person, and for his name, that's what it says. Look at Matthew 19:12. Look at Matthew 19:12. We're looking at for whose sake during the gospel times. Matthew 19:12, here's another obvious one. For there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb. That's the way they are. And there are some eunuchs which are made eunuchs of men. And there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. So whatever. It's either born that way or chose to go that way or have made it, they're going that way for the kingdom of heaven's sake, earthly kingdom. By the way, that's not queer and gay. That doesn't say that. Just because they were born a eunuch doesn't mean you're queer at all. That's not what it is at all. Anyway. So there's why they do some of the things for the kingdom of heaven's sake. The earthly kingdom. Church. Temple. Kind of stuff. Look at Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Yeah, that's prophecy about the tribulation. Yes, it is. So during the tribulation, Matthew 24:22, except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, that's the Jews, that's not us, we're not the elect, that's the Jews, for the elect's days, elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Doing it for them. That's why he's doing it, it's for them. Mark chapter 4 says, for the word's sake. Go ahead and look at that, Mark 4:17. Mark 4:17. This is the sower of the seed parable. And it says there, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time afterwards when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake. Well, that's pretty close. We could almost plan that thing, couldn't we? So does Paul talk about that? If Paul talks about that, that's where we'll learn it from. We can't go through the Gospels and pick and choose. Now, this one sort of kind of works because, see, it says right there, we're being afflicted and persecuted because of his Bible, because of his word's sake. Well, that's true. But we don't go to Mark to find that out. We've got to go to Paul's teachings. Because, see, the word in those days wasn't a Bible. It was God's word. It was what Jesus spoke. What do we have today? King James Bible. So we have to be careful, because if you go back to Mark 4:17, say, see right there, for the word's sake. And God told me to say this, and you're getting persecuted. I'm getting persecuted. It's because I'm being persecuted for the word's sake of what he told me. Did he tell you that, or did this tell you that? If this told you that, and you're doing what the Bible says to you, Paul, rightly divided, then yes, you will be persecuted, but it'll be for the word's sake. King James Bible is why we have most of our persecution here. Most of the rest of it is because of the things we teach, and the rest of that's because of me. You know, oh well. But we can't go to the Gospels, we go to Paul's teachings. If Paul says we're going to be persecuted for the sake of the Word of God, then he will say that. We can't go back to the Gospels and pick and choose what fits. Of course there are things that Jesus taught to the Jews that he's taught to us. Of course that's true. But Paul calls that the way of God more perfectly, more finished, complete, and not errorless. Of course it's errorless. Always has been errorless. More perfectly means done. So the way of God in the Gospels, he wasn't done. He still got to go to the Gentiles. He goes to the Gentiles, gives us the Bible, gives us that which is perfect. It's complete. It's done. Now, that's what we follow. Rather divide the Bible. We have to rightly divide this thing, as Paul says in 2 Timothy, because if we don't, we're going to follow Old Testament doctrine in the Gospels. We're going to follow what the Jews were taught to follow. Can a Jew follow that stuff today? No. It's history. I had somebody write to me the other day that their husband is going to a certain church, and they're just a difficult... No, he's in a war situation, and he's... Never mind. What most churches are is a history lesson. Baptist history lesson. And we're supposed to be teaching Paul. Okay. Here's an interesting one. Look at John chapter 12, verse 9. Look at John chapter 12, verse 9. This is kind of how a lot of this stuff is even today, if you want to look at it that way, I suppose. Talks about Lazarus. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also. Well, see, Lazarus had died, and said whom he had raised from the dead. They got to see this. Wow. Well, they were there for Jesus' sake. Some of them were there for Jesus. Hey, Jesus is going to be there. All right, okay. And so they go to this thing, but they want to see Lazarus, because he died. Yeah, you know, a guy can spiritually preach that thing. Well, yeah, we got people there that come to church. They want to have the church because, we go to church for the sake of going to church. But somebody's coming to preach that draws. I got to see that. They don't want to hear what God has to say to them through that preacher. They want to see him draw. Or they want to hear him play guitar. Or they want to see him do his little song and dance, whatever he's famous for. He plays, brings his own band in here, brings his own piano. Oh, he's a great singer. He's an evangelist. Yeah, why are you there? Oh, he sings beautifully. It's the same thing today. I mean, they go to see Lazarus, not the fact that Jesus was there. See, some of those people are there for Jesus' sake. They really want to see Lazarus. So see how you can preach something out of the Gospels? That's an example. But it's not supposed to do that. We can get that same lesson out of Paul's teachings. Then it'll confuse people by sticking them into the Gospels. 1 second. And try to get them back out. And one of the worst things we've done, I've done, in my history of doing this kind of a thing, is when somebody gets saved, if they do or not, hand them a Romans and John. Book of Romans and Book of John. We give them the Book of Romans where all the concrete doctrine is. Then we give them the Book of John. And it tells them about Jesus, which is not a problem. It tells them about who Jesus is, but that's a book for the Jews. Why do we can learn about who Jesus was. That's true. We can, but it doesn't teach that. None of that's taught to the Gentiles. So it's a confusing thing, just like what we talked about here. Okay, whatever. What about Paul? What time we got here? What about Paul? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So for whose sake does Paul preach? What do we got here? Well, you know he's going to be doing this for Jesus' sake. We know that. For the Lord's sake. For God's sake. Now, you ever heard those phrases? You know, for God's sake. We're doing this for God's sake. Well, I hope that's what you meant. But, you know, for God's sake, would you take the garbage out? It's the fourth time I told you. That's not right. That's using God's name in vain. Just going, God, this is good water. That's using his name in vain. You know, and we're not supposed to do that. That's an Old Testament commandment. Still doesn't please God. My mom used to say, well, all the time, for Christ's sake, Mike, would you get out of bed? Or something. It's always for Christ's sake. Okay, if it was for Christ's sake, fine. You know, that's fine. I just don't always think she meant that. Have you ever hit your hand with a wrench? Did you hit your hand with a wrench for God's sake? Then what? I haven't heard you say this, Marcy. So really, she's looking. She knows this guy fesses up with his face with a blushing thing. I understand that. You know, but unless you can say, oh, for God's sake, I did this. Oh, praise God. If you can quick get that into a praise God thing, you might get out of it, but chances are you can't, you know. You burn your hand for Christ's sake? Yes, I did that. Yeah, for Christ's sake, yes, because I know I want him to get the glory for that burn. For Christ's sake, that hurt. That's why we talk. Aren't you glad that he took care of all this stuff? Anybody who thinks that they're not sinning enough for God to bless them, they're prideful. Because the Jews couldn't stop sinning, and he would kill them if they didn't, and they still did it. Why do we think, Christians today, think that they can actually truly stop sinning? Well, we confess them. Have you confessed them all? Did you confess to God when you use the word God in vain, his name? Well, I don't remember. Well, you ought to remember, because if you've got to confess them all to stay clean, you better get that one in there too. They're just prideful. What about us trying to follow Paul? Listen, we find out from Paul's teaching that the risen Savior got rid of the law. So nothing is considered a sin to a believer. And it's in here. Well, then you continue to go sin all the time? God forbid. But if you did, it's not imputed. Well, you know what that is? That's the depth of God's love. You ever kick your kids out of the house, say, we're done, and hit the road, gone, get out of here. You're not even a cat. Take your name off the back, go get somebody else's name, some husband guy. You know. But if you don't even do that, just go pick a name out of the phone book, Slobonsky. Yeah, here I'm Olivia Slobonsky. Well, you're not really, yeah, but I can't have, my folks won't let me use the Kent's name. You don't do that. That's how much God loves us. He takes care of the law. He walked the law himself, and he'll give us his record. Here's what your record looks like. Now here's what it looks like. Nothing there. Romans chapter 4. Boy. Kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of God. Totally different. Okay, so what about those things you're doing that you shouldn't be doing? It'll burn. And we say it pretty casually today, but it will. It will burn. But you suffer loss. Well, you know, I'll still be in heaven. You'd be pretty bummed if you find out that you got hardly anything up there. But I'm still in heaven. I know, I know. You have a roof over your head? Yeah. Do you like it? Yeah, it's all right. Want a better house? Yeah, I always want a better house. You get a house, you get a perfect house. What is it, Jimmy, 3 years or less? Something's got to be changed in that house. They're not happy with this house all of a sudden. Yeah, that shelf should have been over here more. We're just never satisfied. Anyway, he says in 2 Corinthians 4, 5, is that where we are? Okay, 2 Corinthians 4, 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves, your servants. Why? For Jesus' sake. Not doing it for themselves at all. For Jesus' sake. What are you here for this morning? For Jesus' sake? Are you here for the Lord's sake? Are you here for my sake? Because you know, if you don't come, I get all bummed and tweaked about that thing. I get all hurt. Well, they didn't come. I didn't hear the message. We better go to church. Pastor's going to be miserable. If that's why you're coming, it's for my sake, then yeah, no wonder you think the way you do about me. You know? But if you're coming to hear the truth, for the truth's sake, for God's sake, for God's sake, kids, let's go to church. Then it works. It works that way, but I still wouldn't use it because it just doesn't have the right, you know? But I meant that. We're going to go to church for God's sake. And the parents go, we're going to go to church for your sake. Now shut up and get the tie on. Let's get going. Because you know the kids need it. Whatever. I don't know why I use the word tie. I'm not attacking the no tie thing. I'm jealous because I can hardly breathe wearing these things. Why do you wear them? For your sake. Maybe you listen to me because I look more like a preacher, maybe a little bit. What was it somebody said about that? If somebody said that, I forget what it was because I wear a tie. I look more like a pastor. I suppose when a guy walks in the hospital wearing a white coat, he looks more like a doctor. Yeah, go ahead and cut me up. That's all you need, right? You have a diploma? Nope, but I got a white robe. Anyway. There's a bunch of those out for Jesus' sake, for the Lord Christ uses the Lord for his sake, on behalf of Christ. He says, look at Acts 9:16. He does it again. Paul says the same thing for his name's sake. Well, sure he does, for his name's sake. Acts 9:16. And Paul, Jesus is telling Paul, I will show him how great things he must suffer. So why does Paul suffer? Oh, it's 10, it's what time? Okay, we're close time-wise. Why did Paul suffer? For his name's sake. That's why he suffered. Okay? Romans 15 talks about for Christ's sake. Look at Romans 8:36. Why did Paul do what he did? Well, it's for Christ's namesake, yes, but he did it for another reason. Also another reason. Romans 8:36. He says, as it is written, for thy sake. What you think, why am I doing this up here? For the money. Isn't that right, LD? Doing this for the money. For the money's sake. No, I'm doing this for your sake. We got people out there that I keep looking. I might as well put the camera back there because that's where I think it always is. We got people out there that I know are there this morning. I didn't know we're going to be there, and they were kind of a fire for me. We're doing this for their sake because they can take this stuff and do it for somebody else's sake. And if that works out just right, somebody else's sake will be benefited, which none of you know about, but I do. Marvelous stuff. We can do things for thy sake. For the people's sake. That's okay. Look at Romans 13:5. But you just better make sure what it is that you're doing for the people's sake is what the risen Savior wants us to do for the people's sake. Why do those guys go out on the street? For their sake, so they go to heaven. Why would they preach a false gospel to them? Now it's not doing it for Christ's sake or their sake. They're probably doing it for their own sake because it feels good to yell at people. Makes you happy to tell somebody that they're dying and they're going to hell. Especially if they're the wristbenders and they're got the purple hair and the metal things coming out of their bodies, all that kind of stuff. Some people enjoy telling them, you know, you're going to hell. They enjoy that. You're doing that for your sake. That isn't what Christ, that's not the message Christ wants you to give them. And they're not going to get it anyway because you don't really care. You just want to yell at them that they're going to hell. You're going to hell because you're sinning. No, you're going to hell because you are a sinner. Okay, you're a sinner because you're sinning. No, you're a sinner because of Adam. You're going to hell because you rejected Jesus Christ. Not because you're a queer or anything. It's nothing to do with it. It's weird. But that's the message everybody's getting in Christianity today. Or they're getting the other message. God loves everybody, which is not true. For God so loved the world. He loved, he offered his son. If they don't have his son, they don't have his love. They got to have his son. They have to have a savior, his son. Anyway, get back in trail here. But you know why. Romans 13:5. Now we're doing it for the conscience sake. You know, you're told to do the dishes at night. Mom and dad went to bed, and you got to do the dishes. All you got, well, the dishes really aren't that dirty. Nothing a good old white dish towel doesn't fix. You know, that thing can look as clean as can be. I know what I'm talking about. Okay. And you lay down in bed and you're thinking, you know what, this germ's crawling all over those glasses and the church people are coming tomorrow morning. Oh, I'm very, you know. So my conscience is bugging me. So you do something to clear your conscience. I go back to the church. I haven't gone this far with it, okay? And you go back and like the silverware. Ding. But how many is, what's the second rule in your home? 10 seconds? 5 seconds? How long can the fork sit on the floor before it needs to be washed again? Jimmy, what do you got? 5 seconds? Hey, that fork can sit on that floor all day, and if there's no food on it, it goes back in the drawer. Especially since we haven't got hot water here anymore. How many seconds do you have, Sue? Well, see, that's the difference between you and me. That's the way. So now she never had any more silverware here. She's going to wash her own when she eats here. But that's how we can be. You go to bed at night, you got your conscience bugging you, hopefully. But our conscience is what? It's seared over time. But you got some kind of a conscience, right? We can finish this up here. He goes on here, for the gospel's sake, in 1 Corinthians 9, he goes, look at Colossians 1:24. Why was Paul willing to take the affliction? And it says, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, because the church people are going through some sufferings, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake. What's Christ's body's sake? For the church. What's the church? The local church? Local assembly? Sort of. But the church is his body. Is this church right here his body? No. We are his body. We are the church. This building is not his body. So we're doing this for the brethren. We're doing this for the body of Christ, Jesus Christ. We go into Thessalonians, we see that you do some things sometimes you look at the pastor. Why? Because of him? No, because of his work's sake. You support your pastor because of what he's preaching, not because of who he is. That kind of a thing. You look at Paul does it for our sake. Then Titus chapter 1, we'll be done with Titus chapter 1 here. First, go to Titus chapter 1. So there's for Jesus' sake, there's for his name's sake, there's for Christ's sake, there's for the people's sake, there's for our sake of our conscience, there's for the gospel's sake. That's the Bible. We skipped that on 1 Corinthians 9. For the sake of his body, the body of Christ, for the work of the pastor's sake, for the testimony there. Paul does it for our sake. And then here we see in Titus chapter 1, here's the big problem we have in America today. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers. Liars is what that is. Especially they of the circumcision. And Paul said that would have been the Jews. Whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not. That's what's going on today. Wrongly divided scriptures, lying, teaching the gospels as gospel to us today. Those are not true. They should not be in our house. They should be stopped. Those mouths should be stopped. Those books that are in the bookstore should be stopped. The music that's floating around in Christianity is not floating. This is jamming through all the churches. That should be stopped. Why are they doing it? For filthy lucre's sake. They're doing it for the money. Because if they'd open up a King James Bible, which has been around for almost 400 years, and rather divide the thing, they would know that it's not archaic. It's not hard to understand. You just don't want to understand it. You want the money. I get calls all the time, mail all the time, for somebody selling some program or some rock concert, some garbage concert into their church. The Seventh-day crowd up here, did you get your bread? Oh. You know? And they're having a gathering out here at the little Podunkie church up here in the hill, and they're having singing this year, and they're bringing in this group and these families and all this kind of stuff. That's why they'll go. Why did someone leave our church there about a year ago? Maybe it's been a while, probably 2 or 3 years ago. They didn't make it through the song session. They left. Visitors. Remember that one? They didn't even make it through our singing. Now, we may sing bad. And they were sitting close to LD. So that could have been why they left. They didn't even hear the preaching. They had nothing to do with the King James Bible. I know we're ugly, but we're not that ugly. Some of us are wearing ties. The old ladies are wearing dresses. Maybe that bothered her. I don't know. No, we didn't have the right music. Music is the power of the modern Christianity today. And they're doing it for money. Get a group in here, what are they going to get? More people. That's going to make the pastor happy. Let's build a building. Why? We only have 6 people. Well, let's build it for 100. Why? It'll cost them $100,000, but they'll get people in, and they'll pay for it. What's it for? Money. Filthy lucre sake. They're doing it for the sake of money. I love preaching and teaching this stuff. I just do. I do. Okay, let's take a break.